is nigh. A cataclysm is coming, and Azeroth will never be the same again. This is a final voyage through the old world. And these are the many wonders you'll see.
Hello and welcome to episode 5 of Postcards from the Old World, one last tour around Azeroth before it's changed forever in the Cataclysm. I am Gaffoni.
And I'm Arezzo.
And before we go any further, I'd like to just say sorry about the delay on this episode. We are picking up the pace now, and you'll be getting far more regular episodes going forward.
This time round, we're going to be taking a look at Hills Bradfoot Hills, the Arathi Highlands, and Altarak Mountains, three zones sitting together in the Eastern Kingdoms, all nicely matched up for a range of levels from 20 or so upwards, that we've been wandering around on. Voya and Batchy are specially made for the podcast, new tunes.
These zones, one of the things we found when we were doing them, possibly more than any other of the zones we've grouped together, really share a lot in terms of lore and look and everything, and it's been interesting. There's two particular zones that link very strongly together in a kind of annoying way, I find, but we'll come to that as we go on.
As always, we're going to be including some of the comments that people made on the Alia Iacta Est forums thread that we set up for this podcast. So if you want to check the full versions of some of the things we'll be quoting, then feel free to check those out. And as always, again, next time round, we'll be looking for input from you. So there'll be a new thread that we'll be linking to at the end of this show.
But without further ado, let's move on to our first zone for this show, the ever famous Hillsbrad Foothills.
The green and pleasant land of Hillsbrad seems almost idyllically pastoral at first sight, but its location at the edge of the former Lordaeron makes it a flashpoint between Horde and Alliance forces, and conflict is a constant possibility. The formerly human town of Tarin Mill is now an outpost of the Undercity's Forsaken, and while visitors are protected by the Death Guards, they should be wary of attacks by the Alliance based in nearby South Shore. Around the region are many notable landmarks. Some, like the keep at Dernhold, have great historical interest for the curious traveler. But Dungarok in the southeast and Purgation Isle in the southwest in particular should be approached only with extreme caution or a more experienced guide.
Tarin Mill is under attack. Tarin Mill is under attack. Tarin Mill is under attack. Welcome to Hillsbrad Foothills. I'm sure there isn't a soul listening to this show or who's ever played the game who has never leveled through this Horde side one way or the other. As we'll be hearing from Baera on our Alliance perspective, there's much less for the Alliance to do in this zone, but it's kind of a really, really key one for the Horde. But key in lots of important ways. For a start, there are loads of quests to do there, a very long quest chain involving fighting back against the humans. But also key because of the lore of the zone, with the internment camps, the human internment camps where they locked up the orcs and things like that around the outskirts of the zone. Now, a lot of you will be saying, hang on a second, those internment camps strictly are in Altarak Mountains. But this is my problem with these two zones. Do me a favour right now. Go to WoW Wiki and look up Hillsbrad Foothills. Click on the image of the map further down and you'll see a really harsh border to it that just seems to cut into the geography of the zone. Kind of this 90 degree slice that's just taken out of the top left-hand corner, and it shows you how unnatural, in a way, how unintuitive the borders between Altarak Mountains and Hillsbrad Foothills actually are. And when you get up around above the human town of Hillsbrad itself, you find the Lordaemir internment camp, which is in Altarak, but it looks exactly like Hillsbrad. Now, I'm already going off on a tangent here, but I wondered whether these zones were created really early in the development of the game, before they'd kind of taken on that ethos of one zone must look really distinct from the next. Because it's a very natural way, because you would expect two pieces of land that butt up against each other to actually look the same, whereas if you think of something like the border between the Swamp of Sorrows and the Blasted Lands, those two geographies are completely different.
Yeah.
Which is unnatural.
Yeah, and there are a lot of those crazy borders between zones that are totally unrealistic. It's a fantasy game, obviously, yeah, but that just don't feel like a good match. You're completely right, there are a lot of those. And yes, the Alterac, or the lowlands part of Alterac and the Hillsbrad foothills definitely feel much more like there's a seamless transition across the border.
Yeah, definitely. And this can lead you to trouble. If you're level 21, 22, off killing humans at Hillsbrad, the town, and you want to take a shortcut back to Taran Mill, you could very easily wander through things 10 plus levels higher than you because you thought you were safe, but actually you've gone into Alterac Mountain.
In fact, there's a very specific example, which is one of the quests from Taran Mill is to collect mountain lion blood. And if you stray very slightly further north than you really ought to, the mountain lions that you're going to start spotting are hulking mountain lions, which are level 34 or so.
Yeah, so you look at them and you think, oh, excellent.
More mountain lions.
This quest.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So either you think the quest is really impossible and wrongly graded, or you don't pay attention to it, to the level of the mountain lion, and you go blithely running in because you've just been killing level 21 mountain lions, and you get wiped out.
Now, basically, you've just raised another point there, which makes me think this zone and its surrounding zones were designed very early on. When you talk about the grading of quests, in this zone, you are given a lot of quests. At Taran Mill, you're given a lot of quests way early than it feels that you really should. Particularly the ones that lead you up into Alterac Mountains proper. And it makes, if you're completely new to the game and you're seeing these quests, you may not know, oh, I can go over to Kalimdor and do some stuff in the Barrens or a Thousand Needles, say, you know, to fill up the levels before I can do this. You may think, I have no choice but to stay here and keep battering away at these, or keep grinding and grinding and grinding just to get the XP to go up in levels high enough. And this is the kind of stuff I hope they're really going to fix with Cataclysm.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And actually, I think that kind of variety of levels is something that one of the people who contributed on the thread mentioned. But it is true. I mean, if you think about the examples, and obviously we're digging into the quests in the zone at this point, but if you think about the quests that you first pick up when you get to Taran Mill, there's a bunch that are, you know, go and kill some mountain lions and go and kill this, that and the other. And even before some of the really easier ones, you will pick up a quest called Baron Vardus, which, if you get it at level when you first go to Taran Mill, is going to be red, and it's seriously going to be red. I mean, we did it recently, and it was hard.
And we left it until, like, we were 32.
Yeah, or I mean, we left it till quite late on, and we went as two of us, and it was hard.
There's a quest we couldn't do.
Yes.
That you get at Taran Mill, and between the two of us, we couldn't do it. It was to kill, I think we were level 33 at the time, and it was to go and kill something level 41, kind of at the far side of Alterac Mountains, again in a bit that looks like Hillsbrad. But yeah, it was just impossible.
Yeah,
we would have had to come back at a much, much higher level when we were busy who knows where.
Yeah.
You know, we would have had to traipse all the way back to do this quest. And
that's the thing that we mentioned last time around as well, is that in these early levels where you look at them as groups, there are certain quests that start in one zone, lead into another, but actually by the time you could easily go and do them, you're probably somewhere completely different.
Yeah.
So that design of the questing in these zones and these early zones, I think, it's certainly something that we've seen change with the subsequent expansions, but I think it's certainly something that is quite characteristic of levelling through these areas in the way that we're doing them, certainly.
It's an interesting concept, though, because I think when we talk about these kind of things in those negative terms, we're talking about ease of levelling. We're talking about, you know, the kind, like you say, the kind of questing we've got used to in Northrend, which plumps you down in a quest zone, at a quest hub, gives you half a dozen quests. You go and do them. Maybe you've got three or four more to do after that. And then when you've done them, you get a quest saying, oh, now go over there and do the same again. There's very little, oh, I need to go back and do that. There is a lot of that in the old world.
Yeah.
Where, and it's not, I don't think it's a bad decision. In isolation, it's not a bad decision because it encourages you to explore. It encourages you to, it kind of binds the world together. Once you're finished with a place, effectively, you're not, because you have to go off an adventure and finally come back for your moment of glory against that level 40 mob that you couldn't get before. But Blizzard have moved away from that.
Yeah.
Which is why I have this expectation that in Cataclysm they're going to, you know, smooth down these rough edges with things like that.
I think it's a fine line, because on the one hand, one of the things that's great about a game like World of Warcraft is the openness of the world and the fact that you can go anywhere and that there isn't necessarily a single path that you have to follow. But at the same time, the lack of a linear quest progression in the old world can sometimes feel a bit frustrating because it feels messy and it feels like, and again, we go back to that thing we've talked about before, in the days before you got a mount at level 20, the amount of time you could spend just running backwards and forwards between these locations for mopping up random odd quests that you picked up 10 levels earlier, you know, it was really frustrating.
Definitely. But let's talk about the specific quests in this zone, because generally the ones you get that are appropriate for your level, there are a lot of tightly bound, nicely done, fun chains. The whole kind of questing experience here is summed up in one single chain called the Battle for Hillsbrad. Where you are sent to go and kill, well, number one, go and kill these humans. Number two, very nice, go and kill these other humans. Number three, and on and on. And while you're doing those, there's a quest called Dangerous to kill certain named humans as you go along. And you'll also get a quest at one point to bring back the human skulls.
Yeah.
And they all dovetail really nicely together.
Yeah.
It gets a little bit dull because you end up going
backwards and forwards.
For the first three or four quests, it takes you from Taran Mill to Hillsbrad, from Paramil to Hillsbrad, back and forth and back and forth. Eventually you're sent off to a mine to do some stuff over there, and that's a change of scenery. And of course then to the dwarf encampment. But they're well designed in that it fits together, it gives you enough to do, they give you enough XP to keep you leveling steadily. It's nice. They're fun quests.
Yeah, and the Battle of Hillsbrad quest chain, to me, I think works quite well because it really feels like a battle, like a war of attrition going on. It's like, you know, you're wearing down, sort of starting with the kind of the farmers and the farmhands, and then you start working up through you get to hit the forge and deal with the blacksmiths, and so you're kind of getting more into the heart of the town, and then eventually you're getting into the people who are running the town, and it just feels like you are just wearing away, chipping away at Hillsbrad to the point where eventually you're there going into the town hall and you're, you know, destroying their city artifacts and so on. And it's got a real sense that it's building, which is quite nice, I think, as quest chains go.
Definitely. And there's other stuff to do there as well. There's more shady dealings from the apothecaries from Undercity who send you to make various poisons and poison various things.
And kill the doggy.
And you have to kill a dog.
But, that's not nice.
Well, no, not terribly nice. But then Wrathgate, I don't think the undead are particularly nice. But there we go.
Not all the undead. Some are our friends. No offence intended to any undead players listening. Except the evil ones.
Or people who play undead.
Or those, yeah.
A bit disturbed by the concept of undead listeners.
I don't know, it could be quite interesting. Anyway, moving on. Some of the things that people mentioned in the thread actually relate to some of the quests and some of the kind of the key features of the zone. So I'll just start in with a few of those as usual. Starting with Zaman, who says, I like this story a lot. My fondest memory of this zone was of Dungarrok. Back when it was an elite zone, it was one of the first times I had to get a 5-man group together for a non-instance. One of my favourite screenshots of all time was when we cleared the dwarven base and all sat in the chairs around the fireplace. I think that's brilliant. He talks about a few other places as well, which I think we'll come back to when we're talking about some specific locations in the zone. Yayo, excuse me, said quite specifically, I despise these three zones. I don't like the lay of the land nor the quests. However, I hate the whole Eastern Kingdom too. So I think there's somebody predisposed. Yeah, predisposed not to like this part of the world. One thing that came up in a lot of people's comments was people's experience of Hillsbrad in particular on PvP servers.
Yeah.
Which is something that we can relate to, certainly.
Yeah, we leveled to 50-odd on a PvP server a long, long time ago.
Yeah.
And obviously your first experience of it, if you're undead and horde side, is Hillsbrad, because that's where you end up. And you will get killed over and over again.
Yeah.
It's no fun.
No, it's the first place you're really going to start to get that kind of nervous twitch that you learn to live with all the time of just constantly flipping your camera around and looking for any red dash on the horizon just in case it's the name of an ally.
I remember some of the trees in the zone have got kind of reddish leaves, and I remember I'd see trees and think, oh my god, it's Alliance, but it never was. That was. Yeah, a big baby. That's all I couldn't take.
Yeah, no, that was nerve-wrenching. Anyway, Thundercleese mentions he used to be involved in a lot of Alliance versus Horde PvP in Hillsbrad. He says, we would go back and forth for hours between Taramil and Southshore fighting the opposing faction. The Horde would come to Southshore, the Alliance would wipe them out, and then as they were running back to their corpses, we would attack Taramil. This is when he was playing Alliance side. Then they would come wipe us out, and it would just go back and forth all night long. Which, on the one hand, sounds kind of fun. On the other hand, sounds incredibly annoying.
Yeah. I mean, it's difficult. When you're just trying to get on with questing, it's...
Yeah.
Particularly if all you want to do is level, just get to top level and do all the business at end game. It's incredibly frustrating.
I suppose the lesson is, if that's what you want to do, don't do it on a PvP server.
Yes, pretty much. Then you just transfer over if that's what you need. There is still some PvP relevance to the battles between Southshore and Taramil, but only once a year with the Brewfest.
Yeah.
Where you have to...
get into the inn at Southshore.
And poison their beer, is it?
Yeah.
We've only done it once, which doing it for the meta, but there was a little gang of people from the guild. Had so much fun doing it. But again, I couldn't even begin to dream of what it would have been like trying to get on with your... questing or whatever while this was going on.
I remember kind of frantic attempts to work out where was the best place to res inside the inn, in upstairs, the downstairs.
Door so no one could see you. Yeah.
It was chaos. Yeah. Anyway, also on the PvP in the area, Mitchell mentions that Hillsborough Foothills was his first introduction to PvP and a rather rude awakening to that element of the game. He's talking about playing with a group on a different server previously. With his guild, he says, one night after successfully clearing Shadowfang Keep and feeling quite good about our accomplishment, my guildies and I decided to make the run to the closest town to grab the flight path and Hearthstone point at the inn. That town, of course, was Taramil. I don't think we made it more than 10 paces into the Hillsbrad zone before all three of us were one-shotted by an Alliance player who was so far above us in level that they had the skull icon next to their portrait where the level should be. 20 levels of heroic deeds were deflated in one hit.
Now, there was something we discovered, something we worked out how to do while we were questing there. Because, of course, I'm playing a mage, and mages have slow fall. Now... when the Alliance are attacking Taramil, you may sometimes see a hunter or some other kind of ranged character on the roof of the building next to the inn, just taking pot shots at whoever he likes, and the guards not being able to get to him at all. We have figured out how to do this, so we know how to strike back. What you need to do is there is kind of a cliff right above Taramil, just to the north.
It's at Dandred's Fold, where there's a syndicate camp.
Yeah. Head up there. Go to the edge, get slow fall or levitate cast on you, and then jump off the edge towards the building. And if you time it right and everything, you will land on the roof of that building and you can fight back. Or if you're Alliance and listening, I'm sorry if I gave you the idea.
Yes. But yeah, I remember the first time I was victim to that. Could not work out how these people had got up there. This was back in the days of the PvP server. And the thing that was happening primarily was there was a priest up there who kept mind controlling the guards.
Oh, yeah.
And the other guards couldn't, there was no path they could take to get up to the roof. So they weren't even aggroing. It was totally bizarre. I couldn't work it out at all. And it's taken years for you and I to work out what was going on there. So other comments from people. Berger mentions, I too have great memories from Hillsbrad. I think the diversity in questing is better than in the other zones you'll be covering, as well as the scenery, mobs, and pretty much everything else, which is something that was also picked up by Eldekar, who said, Hillsbrad is a great zone for variety, given the castle ruins of Durnhold Keep, the dwarven area of Dungarrok on Thoradin's Wall, the seashore, lots of Naga and Murlocs, Azulode Mine, the Hillsbrad Fields and the areas leading up to Alterac, both on the Dalaran and Cliff sides. Like some of the earlier zones, there was a lot of ground to cover here, but Taran Mill is centrally located enough to begin to limit the marathon running of earlier zones. And a few people made that point, actually, about Hillsbrad being a zone with a lot of variety in it. You know, there is the seashore, there are the towns, there is the kind of the wide open spaces, there's the dwarven encampment, there is Durnhold. There are a lot of different feeling parts to the zone, which I think is great. And it is something that we've commented before now on some of the other zones we've been in, that some of them feel a little bit samey.
Yeah.
So I think it is definitely one of those zones where you kind of, every time you turn a corner, you find something a little bit different.
It definitely also feels, you kind of touched on this before, it feels very believable. It just feels like a real place. There's nothing there the reason I'm laughing is because I was thinking, oh, hang on, but the Dalaran crater's there. But then, of course, the Dalaran crater is strictly in Alterac. There's nothing.
Let it go.
There's nothing there that that's crazy or wild or outlandish. And it's all about the war between the Horde and the Alliance, not just as it is now, but the history of everything leading up to it.
Yeah.
And let's be fair here. As horrible as it is to level there on a PvP server, it does, because when you do it on a PvE server, when you're doing those quests to go and kill the humans, you could be killing any mobs.
Yeah.
It's just a quest to go and kill.
Yeah, it's go kill X of those. Yeah.
But it should mean more because you're killing humans, you're killing the other side, you're disrupting their life as you would, you know, put it brutally, in a war. That's how you'd go about it.
Yeah.
So in a PvP server, it kind of emphasizes that and makes it feel more dangerous and more alive.
Yeah.
I mean, we did say this about, we'll get massive tangent now. We did say this when we were leveling on a PvP server. It changes the game fundamentally.
Absolutely. It is a different game.
No, I'm not saying for the better or for the worse.
Just different.
Just very, I mean, incredibly different, because you're never safe. You can never, ever feel safe. Mm. And that's a good feeling with the game. Right now, Arezzo is playing through Alan Wake, and you don't feel safe playing that game. It's scary.
Yes.
Anything can jump out and kill you, and you don't know what's going on. And it gives that kind of feeling.
Yeah.
The downside we've already discussed.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's very different. And I think there are lots of reasons for Hillsbrad being such an iconic zone on PvP servers. Lots of reasons. But I do think the whole aspect of the war between the Horde and Alliance, and being able to bring player conflict into that as well, is quite good.
I think one of the key reasons that it is such a flat...
Let's also look, sorry to kind of detour again.
I'll just stop talking.
But still on the subject of PvP, let's also consider the fact that two of the earliest battlegrounds in the game are set in the region we're discussing in the show, which, like I said at the top, feels as a whole. You've got Arathi Basin connected to the Arathi Highlands, and you've got Alterac Valley connected to Alterac Mountains. The theme of these zones is war,
is conflict. Yeah, completely. And I think what I was going to say is I think the, one of the reasons why Hillsbrad Foothills is such a specific flashpoint for PvP and for the conflict between the Horde and the Alliance at this low level is I can't think of many other places where the two primary locations, one for each side in a zone, are actually as close together and as easy to kind of just fight at and fight back at as those two. They're just up the street from each other, basically.
And let's be honest as well. I mean, if the zone itself were a battleground, it would be a really interesting one. The geography of the zone is if you think of kind of the tract of land between Taran Mill and South Shore. The geography is really interesting. You've got the roads, the really obvious roads. You've got a tower to hide in. You've got the little gully with the river running through it where all the turtles are. You've got a waterfall. You've got bridges. It's an interesting area to fight in.
Yes, there's an awful lot of... it's that same thing, that variety of different types of location within the zone. Mm. It's not just that there's some are buildings and some are open fields. It's that they actually all offer different kinds of opportunities if you were viewing them as a combat zone. We're talking an awful lot about PvP
PvP. But then that is, like we said, this is the theme of these zones.
Yeah, totally. Among the various things that people talked about on the thread, there were a couple of specific things with regard to locations within Hillsbred Foothills that have particular connections for one reason or another. One of those is Ravenholt, Ravenholt Manor, which is an area that a lot of people probably don't even realise is there. In fact, it's something that a couple of people noted they didn't even realise was there until they were doing things like going for Explorer. But Area Tarka said, being a rogue, I've always enjoyed Hillsbred Foothills for the small area hidden in the hills north of Durnhold Keep, known as Ravenholt. To quote WoW Wiki, the Guild of Thieves and Assassins and a rogue-only faction, which is very enjoyable from a lore aspect. At level, I remember doing a whole bunch of quests designed to help you learn certain rogue abilities, etc. And I think that is one of those great little things about this zone, is it is full of odd little things that actually connect to wider things. Some of it is lore. Durnhold is a great example of that, if you really get into the background of what's happened at Durnhold Keep over the years. And Ravenholt is another one that you've got, something very specific to a particular class within the game that is there for them, and that when they visit it allows them to develop their skills in their particular field.
I don't think they go far enough with that rogue thing, and I generally think that's the feeling of everyone who's ever played a rogue. there's not so much to do there that it makes a really big difference to your class. It's nothing like, and it really should have been like this, but it's nothing like the Death Knight base hanging above Eastern Plaguelands. Nothing like that at all.
Right.
But it should be.
Yeah, I mean, I've never really leveled a rogue, so I've never kind of gone through that specific element anyway, but I have heard people say that it is a kind of it's a bit of a dead end almost, that it doesn't really affect your position in the game once you get past
a point where you can keep building up rep, but for no reason whatsoever,
unless you're going for the insane
title.
Which is another reason why some people might now be more familiar with Ravenholt than they used to be, of course.
Not many people, I should name.
the insane few.
But yeah, I think I'd love there to be places like this for all classes, like some sort of, if it hadn't become what it became in the game, say Dalaran University for mages, a hangout for mages, or druids, of course.
Well, it's like Moonglade,
but again, that's completely as a druid, Moonglade really annoys me.
Likewise,
but we'll come to that in another show, I'm sure. But I think there's so much more they could do with these places, and so many more they could introduce if they wanted to.
Absolutely. And one of the places I just mentioned, and which is mentioned by Wiretalk in what he said on the thread, is I love this zone for several reasons. Durnhold Keep was Thrall's human home and the start of the formation of the current Horde. And one of the things that touches on is something that I think is it's not specific to exploring this zone now, but it's something that's pretty specific and unique to Hillsbrad, is that much later on, you can go through the Caverns of Time. You can come back here and see how it used to be.
Yeah.
When Taramil was still a human outpost, and and when the whole place geographically is the same, it's the same, hills and it's the same fields and stuff like that. But you're able to go back and see it all again with a completely new perspective, and obviously specifically go to Durnhold, because the point of that particular quest is to help Thrall.
You're pretty free to go anywhere in the zone.
Yeah.
I mean, more so than any other Caverns of Time instance that I can think of.
Yeah.
and you meet the guy who was Kel'Thuzad.
Yeah.
And there's a trader. I think it might be him who's the trader. I'm not sure. But there's all sorts of stuff you can do there. And there's a brilliant... I mean, we're not doing instances in this show. And anyway, this one wouldn't count because it would be a level 70-ish one. But there's that brilliant Don Carlos quest.
Yeah, which is just great. The time paradox and everything is fantastic.
It's so funny.
Yeah. But yeah, I certainly didn't want to not mention that while we're talking about Hillsbrad, that this is unique, yeah, that you can come back and explore it in a totally different context.
All the Caverns of Time dungeons are interesting for this reason, but if you're determined to kind of get a proper feel of a zone, and it has a Caverns of Time instance attached to it, go and do that, because it really does very literally bring the history of that zone to life.
Yeah. Yeah. So and very coolly. I mean, I really, really like Old Hillsbrad.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, totally different part of the discussion. So that was one of the things that that people mentioned. A couple of people mentioned the connections to the lore and Dernhold specifically, and I know that was something that you found particularly significant about this zone, and as you mentioned earlier. And there are a couple of other landmarks that are worth checking out. Thoradin's Wall is pretty impressive. Yeah. It's very impressive, actually. It's a huge wall separating Hillsbrad foothills from Alterac. No, from Arathi. You see, I can't do it. I can't differentiate these zones from the Arathi highlands. This is another one of those zones that has an in-game memorial in it. This one, which is called In Loving Memory, is to someone called Anthony Ray Stark, not, as a lot of people think, an in-game reference to Iron Man, as Anthony Stark is Iron Man's secret identity. But in fact, the name of a friend of one of the developers who put the memorial into the game when that friend, Anthony Stark, died, who was also known actually as Tony Stark, died during the process of development. It's on the cliffs overlooking the sea right by Dungarok. It's very easy to find, and if you want to check out those kind of spots in the game, that's where to go.
And one other very, very weird thing in the zone is a little island you'll see it on the map called Purgation Isle. Way back in the dim and distant past, it used to be full of like level 30-odd mobs, but sometime into the vanilla game, before Burning Crusade came along, they became like late 50s, 60 elites as part of the tier 0.5 armor quest you could do at 60. So there is a quest that takes you there, the only quest in the game that takes you there. The whole place was purposeless before those armor quests came into the game. It is a very creepy place, and heaven forbid you should wander over there as a level 24 or something, because you'll have your behind kindly handed back to you as you're kicked back to the mainland. But that is about it. I think all the waffle for Hillsbrad. We're pretty much done.
I think that's sufficient waffle for Hillsbrad, to be honest.
On Hillsbrad. Okay, before we move on to our next zone, we're going to have Bayera's Alliance perspective at this point, as she discusses Hillsbrad from the Alliance point of view.
If you quest as Alliance in the wetlands, you'll find yourself in an awkward position. Geographically, the wetlands transitions into Arathi, but at level 30, you'll have only one quest there. Then you're left with no choice but to head into Hillsbrad Foothills, a region that's utterly embattled and surrounded by horde zones. And for an area that's dominated by humans, it's a rather odd place for the questing ally. For example, in Hillsbrad Fields, you'll find an entire town of friendly humans who are apparently experiencing an economic downturn, since they have absolutely no employment to offer you. You'll find the same phenomenon if you traipse over to Azurlode Mine, the Dalaran Crater, or Dungarok, where they're all downright uppity. They won't sell you anything, they don't do repairs, they'll barely give you a civil greeting. Oh sure, the minute one of the Horde show up, they're all over that action. But you, my Alliance friend, may as well not exist. Of course, you have to go out of your way to find any of these places, because the only work that you will find in this area will have you traversing a narrow middle strip from the coastal port of South Shore up to the mountains. In fact, the critic of Alliance policy might draw the conclusion that, by design, young allies are steered away from the eastern and western areas, lest they be demoralized by discovering evidence of internment camps at Dernholm or Lordamir. So we turn to the lovely town of South Shore, which would make a wonderful seaside resort, except for the Naga and the Murlocs, and regular assassination attempts on the town's magistrate, and the constant battle with Terran Mill. Oh, and then there's Helcular. Every time one of those gullible horde get talked into reanimating him, Helcular rallies his minions, runs amok, and slays all and sundry. Now, Helcular got executed because he was trying to become a lich. So listen, you horde adventurers. Do you really want to help out an Arthas wannabe? Why not improve interfactional relations and just say no? Speaking of interfactional relations, it's curious that, with a long history of Alliance warfare against the orcs, trolls, and undead in Hillsbrad, there's only one quest giver in South Shore who wants to recruit you to fight orcs, trolls, or undead. If you want a proper Alliance versus Horde showdown, you'll have to head into Alterac Valley Battleground. That's right, Alterac Valley, rated R for violence, but with a special rating of PG during Children's Week, that well-beloved holiday when, like Socrates of old, you too can participate in corrupting the youth. But I digress. No, in Hillsbrad, Alliance questing is all about the Naga, the Murlocs, and an organization called the Syndicate. Once upon a time, human kingdoms dominated the entire region. Lordaeron, the mage city of Dalaran, Alterac in the mountains, and the remaining forces of the Kingdom of Arathor housed at Strongguard to the east. In the Second War, however, the ruler of Alterac, Lord Perenold, betrayed the Alliance, giving orc armies free passage through his lands. Afterwards, Strongguard and Lordaeron occupied Alterac, dissolving the kingdom and ultimately exiling the House of Perenold and the band of thieves that they had organized. This band, known as the Syndicate, has allied with the Shadow Council and seeks to retake not only Alterac, but Arathi as well. Now that Strongguard and Lordaeron have fallen and Dalaran has scarpered off to Northrend, the Alliance hangs on to South Shore with more determination than ever, fending off Syndicate attacks from Strongbroad and challenging the ogres who occupy Alterac's ruins. Most of the quests that take you into Alterac come from South Shore, with one notable exception. If you follow the Stone of Tides quest chain that begins with Krazik and Booty Bay, you may find yourself talking to Ansarim Runeweaver at the Dalaran Crater. And yes, he is the former ruler of Dalaran that Runeweaver Square is named after. If the situation looks dire in Hillsbrad, Alliance forces in the Arathi Highlands have even less to work with, since ogres and the Syndicate have almost entirely evicted the League of Arathor from Strongguard. A small force led by Prince Galen Trollbane still guards the Tomb of Thoris in the southwestern quadrant of the keep, but the rest of the defenders have holed up in the rock canyon of Refuge Point. You can help them try to reclaim Arathi and stop the Syndicate. If you're feeling particularly brave, you can join the League of Arathor in the ongoing battle for the resources of Arathi Basin. Otherwise, you can content yourself with raiding local Witherbark troll villages, reclaiming magical artifacts from the ogres, and picking off Syndicate leaders. You'll also need to investigate some mysterious experiments that the Forsaken are conducting at Goshek Farm. Oh yes, I know you Horde think that you were all stealthy when you snuck up to Farmer Ray's place in Hillsbrad and poisoned his dog Stanley. But people noticed when Stanley inexplicably grew twice his size and turned an odd shade of red. We've been watching those apothecaries of yours, and we'll nab the next courier who sets out for Terran Mill with lab notes. It's true that to pull this off, we'll have to escort a clearly suicidal operative named Kynalori, who will contrive to walk slowly through the path of every orc patrol on Goshek Farm. But it's all in a day's work.
Thank you very much for that, Bayera. And now we'll move on to the next one of this trilogy of zones, Arathi Highlands.
Arathi's largely unspoiled landscape belies its history as the original heart of the Empire of Arathor. And the region's most striking landmark is the Empire's former capital at Strongguard. The land is a perilous one, with the natural dangers of raptors, spiders, and elementals supplemented by Syndicate and troll inhabitants. The Alliance encampment at Refuge Point is easy to stumble across inadvertently, so Horde visitors should be wary in the central part of the region as they head for the Sanctuary of Hammerfall in the very far northeast. Many small outposts and holdings dot the land, making exploration hazardous, but visitors should certainly not miss out on a visit to the awe-inspiring remains of the Thandal Span, connecting the former lands of Lordaeron to Khazad-dûm in the south.
Okay, although we were just skirting around the borders of Alterac, we're off to Arathi next, which I have to say is one of my favourite zones in the game for a couple of kind of weird, well, not weird, a couple of particular reasons. First of all, there is so much more to it than you realise, and you will probably get bored with it and move on before you see everything it's got to offer. There's a hidden cove with pirates in it. There's ogres hiding away in Stromgarde Fortress. There's all sorts of stuff going on in the zone. There's a princess trapped in a crystal. You know, there's some great quests there. The other reason I love it, and this is one of my massive gripes with the game, here we go. The other reason I love it is when it's rainy or misty, the place looks superb. Absolutely superb, really atmospheric. But there isn't enough weather in the game, and that's what really annoys me.
Though, actually, quite recently, when I've been there getting stuff lined up for this particular programme, it's never been anything other than raining and misty and grim. And I have a different view of that. It's just been torrential in there all the time, and it's just depressing.
Also, it shares the geography with Arathi Basin, which is my favourite battleground by far. And you get rain, and when you get weather in Arathi Basin, the battleground, it's like, it's so much fun. A few months ago, whoa, tangent time again. A few months ago, I got a new PC which just eats WoW for breakfast, and I have this amazing view distance. When I start Arathi Basin on a clear day, I can see right over to the other end of the zone. But I like playing Arathi Basin when I can't see that far because you don't know what's happening and stuff, and it's good fun.
Weirdo.
Yes, but no, there's lots of stuff going on here. It takes some time to unfold. It's a very pretty zone. I like the rolling hills and everything about it. It's really nice. Why are you laughing at me?
The reason I'm sitting here laughing is because, as you well know, that's not a universally held view. In fact, the dominant comment that came through on other people's views is the word boring.
Yeah.
And I completely agree with
them. Well, they didn't give it enough of a chance.
It's boring.
It's not.
It really is.
It really isn't.
It really is.
It really isn't. There's kobolds.
Ooh.
Anyway, yes. No, I really like it. There's again, you've got more history with the internment camps, like Hammerfall, the Horde town there was a former human internment camp in the war, which they took back and turned into a settlement.
Yeah. That's a nice touch. I like that, actually.
Yeah. And the way the humans have kind of been forced back into this little camp in a quarry, I guess you'd call it. They're just hiding out in there, and it feels like the tide's turned there. You have some... We mentioned Thoradin's Wall before. You've got Thoradin's Wall on one side. You've got, on the other side of the zone, you've got the Thandol Span, this amazing dwarven bridge over this huge valley. You've got the cliffs around the cove. Arathi will be really, really high on my list of places to go to when we've got flying in Azeroth. Because it's spectacular views, spectacular. It's a great zone.
I will acknowledge that flying will make it a bit easier because it's a big zone to get around, and it's certainly at level, one of the big issues is it is teeming with wildlife, all of which is just a few levels higher than you when you first get there, and all of which is just close enough to all of the rest of it that if you pull one, you pull them all. So flying will be particularly useful.
Yeah, but that's going to be presumably...
Yeah, I mean, it won't be, an issue, yeah. But it'll be useful to kind of get a better perspective on it, I guess. The other thing that I think is one of the things that I dislike about the zone, and actually there are a few more off the top of my head, I can think of at least two or three more that we will come to, where I think this specific thing is a real issue for me, and it's purely personal, but it drives me mad. There are a bunch of zones where the Horde, or I guess possibly if you're Alliance, the same thing will apply in different zones, but the outpost is at the furthest point you can possibly get to. You know, and so getting to it in the first place is a pain. Then getting from it to anywhere that you're sent to on a quest is as big a pain, especially if it's Hammerfall and you're being sent back to Stromgarde. It's like, hang on a minute, I passed that on the way in half an hour ago when I was coming up the road.
Can I just say, it takes 5 minutes, 5 minutes to get from Taramil to Hammerfall on 100% speed mount. Sticking to the roads. That's all. half an hour.
Oh, I apologise for my artistic licence.
I actually timed this once because I was thinking of... I may yet do this in the Summer of Love for the Guild or something, but I was thinking of doing of gathering together anyone who had a mammoth or a mechanohog and making a train to take Lobies from Hillsbrad to Cargath, stopping at Hammerfall.
To get the single flight point in the middle of the continent.
So I was making a timetable, and I was as surprised as anyone to discover it was only 5 minutes on an epic mount from Hillsbrad to Hammerfall.
An epic mount, unlike the kind that you will have if you're in Arathi at level.
Yeah, but then what? So can you do the math on that?
No.
What would that be? 7 minutes? I'm gonna go for 7 minutes.
Okay.
I'll time it and let you know on the next show.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not hard.
Unless he's wrong,
hour.
In which case he'll forget. Oh, artistic license. I apologise for that.
Unless, of course, you run into that gang of Alliance elites on the road.
Which could, of course, be...
That would delay you severely.
Just slightly put you off, possibly. But yeah, I mean, it is... I just find it a little bit too... Bleh, as you're running around it. There are a lot of things to do in it once you get to Hammerfall, you know, Witherbark and Stromgarde and the various farms and stuff like that, all the little syndicate outposts and stuff. And I like that the syndicate influence carries on into Arathi. But I'm with the school that thinks that more of the zone is boring than not. And I love the Thandor Span. I think that's amazing. I think when you first get to that and you see it's just incredible. And you're right that it kind of those two borders, that and the wall, the two kind of borders to the zone, really kind of define it as a very it's a very kind of separate zone. There really is no easy way in or out of it that doesn't involve what at some point has been a really fortified way in or out. So I think you get that definite sense that this is a zone that was out on its own for a long time. So that I'll get. It's just that the actual experience of being in there, I found a bit dull. Sorry.
Well, I think it comes down to why are you in the zone? Are you in the zone to put some more numbers on that number in the top left of your screen, or are you in the zone to enjoy the questing? I think if you're there to do the latter, it is a great, great zone.
That's put me in my place.
Yes, but if you are just there to move on to keep leveling, it's a bit of a toughie because the quests unfold. There are lots of them, but they unfold slowly. And yes, it is a big zone.
Yeah. There is a lot. You can't deny there is a lot of running backwards and forwards, especially when it's like Hammerfall and Stromgarde and places like that.
But I think it repays the effort you put into it, the time you spend in it. That you find things like the pirate ship, you find the ogres hidden away at the back of Stromgarde. Mm. You find the little camps of elementals around the summoning stones, and I think there's a lot going on which you won't see from first sight. And if all you are doing is leveling, you'll miss it, and that's fine. But,
yeah. Actually, a point I will make is that as far as any kind of geography goes, I don't think you can go far wrong with stone circles. And Arathi's got plenty of those. So, that is great. They are real focal points. The fact that each of them has a different kind of elemental around them, they play into that big quest chain with, each of the different kinds of elementals as you go to each of the different summoning stones and so on, summoning circles, excuse me.
Yeah.
I like the fact that there's that kind of much deeper, more kind of mystical, more elemental kind of thing going on kind of beneath the surface.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
What did people have to say?
What did people have to say?
You told me what they had to say.
You know what people have to say.
Boring. Gaffoni is wrong.
Nobody explicitly said that, but I think we can read it into. starting with Berger. Berger said, Arathi Highlands is dangerous for sure, but it's also a bit more boring than Hillsbrad. Mainly killing quests and gathering quests, and really it seems mundane after you get past the initial gigantic spiders and dinosaurs. If you can actually make
How?
I know what this question is going to be. How can dinosaurs
be giant
boring?
Dinosaurs and giant spiders be called mundane? QED. All right, carry on.
Ask Berger. If you can actually make it to Hammerfall without getting killed, it's all downhill from there, as Berger's view.
Good heavens.
One up note I will add at this point from Sophelia. I'm in Arathi now with my level 39 Tauren Emily. I love the herb picking. The quests remind me of the Barons. You have to be careful when questing alone because the beasts are very close to one another and they are everywhere. I do remember when I was leveling herbalism, it is a great zone for herbs. Yeah. So that is
not bad for ore as well around the sides, I think.
Okay. Gurlope says the Arathi Highlands is a good area for questing, but not that memorable. You're definitely the minority. Eldekar said, what I always liked about Arathi combines what I also liked about Hillsbrad, variety of topography and NPCs with a good helping of lore and story behind it. From the Western End and Thoradin's Wall to the severely damaged Thandol Span to Stromguard's Gates and the Boulder Fist and Witherbark Troll encampments, I never lacked for things to do in this zone. So there you go. There's somebody who's on your side. Yeah. That's you officers sticking together. Grim makes this point, and actually this is a really good point because this is very, very easy to miss. I also completely missed Faldir's Cove until just a few months ago and found it by swimming to it, not knowing there is a cave that takes you right down there. Why the pirates don't just leave that way, I don't know. Now, actually, the story of the pirates in the cave.
I don't think I've ever gone to it through the cave.
But it is there.
Yeah.
And it is the story.
I forget it's there until I get down there.
Of the pirates in the cove is that they've been shipwrecked and they need help getting out. And there's just a cave they could go through.
There's a great quest there. There is a great quest there when they come under attack from Naga, is it?
Yes.
And you have to defend the ship with the cannons.
Yeah.
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 Really good fun quest. I should have checked this out, actually, when that quest was added, because it doesn't feel like... It feels like a kind of Burning Crusade era quest, not an original game era quest.
There's a similar one, which we... is again tangenting to a zone we haven't got anywhere near yet. In Azshara, there's a little cove. It's a really odd little quest, and it's one of those that you tend to find when you're exploring looking for exclamation marks when you're doing Lore Master, and then discover that this quest doesn't count towards Lore Master. But it's in a cove. There's a group of shipwrecked sailors, and they're being attacked, and you have to help them fight off wave after wave. And I think, again, it's Naga's from memory. It's a little Naga waves theme, but same sort of thing, similar kind of arrangement.
Okay, that's interesting.
So, yeah.
Now I'm very surprised. You can get that Horde side.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, because I got it when I was lore mastering, thinking, oh great, one more for the Eastern Kingdom for Kalimdor,
and it didn't count.
It didn't count.
And I'm very surprised. I didn't know about that because, as you know, Azshara is one of my absolute favourite zones as well. Heartbroken that it's going to change in Cataclysm, and I know that when we get around to that zone, all our listeners will disagree with me again, because I know that's an extremely unpopular zone. But there we go.
Anyway, just wrapping up on the last couple of comments, Grim said, anyway, not a ton to do, and I found that I had no, so now we're criticising our listeners.
Yeah, okay. When they're wrong, yeah.
Anyway, not a ton to do, and I found that I had to do chunks of quests at different level brackets to be able to survive them. Not very streamlined. That, again, I think picks up the point we made earlier about.
Probably agree with that.
Yeah, I think that's fair. But we've already said it's a characteristic of these groups of zones that we've been in the last couple of shows. And Wiretalk said, the Highlands was fun at first, and maybe the second time I quested there, but became rather dull and... boring the more time I spent there. So I think it's kind of funny that of all the sets of comments that we've had on the threads for the shows so far, this one got the least comment, and of the comment we got of this whole show, it was Hillsbrad got a lot of comment, Arathi got a bit less, or quite a bit less, and Alterac got less again. I think that's possibly indicative of the view that people have of this set of zones. It's like you start out in one that's got a lot going on in it, and you feel kind of quite energised by it, and then you move to Arathi, and you start to wear down a little bit on it, and then Alterac.
Well, I still maintain that it's incredibly hard to separate Alterac from Hillsbrad. The vast majority of the quests, in fact, all of them, if I'm thinking rightly, that take you to Alterac, you don't get in Alterac. All the quests come from Taran Mill.
There are no quest givers in Alterac at all.
So it's kind of, I'm not terribly surprised that Alterac didn't get lots of comments because people had in some ways already talked about it in Taramil. Mm. And also, I do think, and people have touched on it here with what they say about Arathi, kind of if you do Taramil to death, not Taramil, if you do Hillsbrad to death, if you do everything you can find there, you're pretty much ready to go somewhere else entirely. And you have to be pretty determined to do everything. The way we're doing this, we're very determined to do as much as we can in each of these zones. Mm. But even as determined as we are, we couldn't do everything at the level we're at now.
No,
couldn't. Literally,
no, I mean,
could not.
To the point where it's getting quite frustrating because we couldn't find things to do that we could do that would help us get to be level sufficiently to do the things that we couldn't do within these zones.
And this is since the changing to the changes to leveling where you get more for doing quests and things at 20 to 60. And this is with us wearing heirlooms, we're still lagging behind. So the only assumption you can therefore make is the game wants you to go over to the equivalent zones in Kalimdor and play around there for a while before you come back to finish off what you're doing here.
Yeah, I think that is probably fair. And there are actually a couple of quests at level in these zones that will send you from one continent to the other.
Yeah.
We kind of avoided them because of the way that we've split these shows up. But there are certain things that can potentially take you from the zones we did last show to the zones we did this show and vice versa.
It's also the nature of hitting the 30s, level 30 onwards, when it slows down. You know, I was thinking about this. We're one third of the way through this series, but we are past the halfway mark level-wise for the old world.
Yeah.
Leveling is slowing down. Leveling is getting harder. But again, we've made it artificially more difficult because we've limited ourselves into where we're leveling. Yeah. But for next show, we'll hop over to the Kalimdor and we'll be starting with stuff that's very, very easy, and we'll fill in those gaps and presumably won't hit this again going forward.
Let's hope. Because it was frustrating.
Not in next show anyway, maybe the show after.
Yeah.
Oh no, the show after will be Stranglethorn. Little
Woot.
Sneak preview there.
Lots going on in Stranglethorn.
Yeah, and they're changing it. But anyway, I don't understand why. I walked in there on my warrior, who's Stranglethorny level. Sorry, God, massive. We'll call this one the tangent episode. I walked in there on my 30-odd warrior, filled my quest log, was wandering around thinking, this place is fun. And just thinking, why? This is the one that, you know, this is one of the zones that's slated to be heavily changed in Cataclysm. And I can think of a million zones that need more work than this one. There's tons to... Oh, anyway, go on. Let's get back on
track. I was about to make a point of reference to the Arathi Highlands being a zone that could do with a lot more work.
We've gone way off now because we were talking about Alterac and stuff, but we're strictly still on Arathi here.
We're still on Arathi.
But I think we've touched on everything we had to talk about, which is probably why we ended up talking
digressing.
About
digressing. Yes. I think, you know, we've touched on all the areas in the zone that are relevant as you're leveling that you're going to experience. Stromgarde is. I actually do want to talk just for a couple of minutes about Stromgarde because it's one of those. It's a very.
I think it's a very cool place.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I really like Stromgarde, and I think it kind of feels oddly out of place. I mean, if you dig into the history of the zone, it's, you know, this is kind of,
I remember
this is
back in the day on the Alliance side. Actually, that's where you had to go for first aid training, wasn't it?
That sounds right, because Hammerfall is where you have to go for.
Some NPC hidden away at the back of it. I think that was first.
But
something about a hat. I know that's really vague. Something about a hat.
Excuse us while he just
listeners, if you can think of why I am linking Alliance side questing in Arathi in Stromgarde, something about a hat. Please email in and let us know what on earth I'm thinking about, because I don't know.
Of course, he could be thinking of something completely different, but we'll see.
There's something back there about a hat. I think you can buy a hat there.
Okay.
That's really crazy. Anyway,
as I was saying, Stromgarde...
Can we cut that bit out?
No. Okay. Stromgarde, I think one of the things that is really interesting about it is that it actually... It's one building, effectively. I mean, it's one kind of, it feels like one structure, although there's parts to it.
With all sorts of
different things going on in it. And part of it links back to, you know, the kind of the history of the Zone and the League of Arathor, which was the original, that it was the Human Empire. And Stromgarde was the, you know, the heart of it. And yet it's just this like one apparent structure in Arathi of all places.
It's a town.
And it is quite extensive. And one of the things I was going to say is that actually...
I'd love to see a Caverns of Time there.
Yes.
I'd love to see how that place used to be.
Very cool. But yeah, if you go into it, it's like there are almost three or four different little zones in one in Stromgarde itself. There is the bit that the humans are still holding. Go in the main gate, turn right, and you're into the bit where all the humans are still looking after the place. Go left, and you're into Syndicate Wizards and... warlocks and all that kind of stuff. Go right and do a little shimmy round to the left and you're into the ogre area, and go straight up and you're into more syndicate stuff, but it's kind of higher level, bigger, scarier, all sorts of other stuff going on. And it does feel like there's an awful lot going on in what is, you know, what used to be the kind of the kingdom of Stromgarde, essentially. So I like that. And I like the fact that, you know, you can suddenly find yourself going, hang on a minute, 2 seconds ago I was dealing with the Syndicate and now all of a sudden I'm being swamped by ogres, who I think used to be elite.
Yeah, I think they used to be as well.
And used to be incredibly scary, but are no longer quite so scary and certainly not anything like as elite as they used to be. But yeah, Stromgarde, I think, is one of the big highlights of the Zone.
I think if you're going to check anywhere out in the Zone, it's got to be that, and it's got to be Faldir's Cove.
Yeah. Which, of course, is just behind it, basically. So from that point of view, they're both very easy to check out together. And Faldir's Cove is cool, and some of those quests are cool. But again, and Eldekar made the point, you know, I wish they could have done more with Faldir's Cove.
Yeah.
You know, there's like three or four quests, something like that. But yeah, it does feel like it could be quite an interesting little place to go to and then come back to maybe a bit later on and, you know, have stuff going on. But okay, so let's leave Arathi behind us rapidly.
No!
and move on. Now, the final zone we're going to be looking at...
It'll take 7 minutes to get away from it.
Thank you. Time starts now. It's going to be the Alterac Mountains that we go on to as the third zone this show, as we talked about earlier. But in the meantime, we're going to take a little bit of a break from us talking and go to one of our regular pieces from Crashing, looking at the instances of the Old World. This is one that's going to have certain stuff impacting on it as we build up towards Cataclysm. It's, however you pronounce it, Nomeragon.
Nomeragon. Nomeragoran. Geomagoran. No margarine. It seems like nobody can agree exactly on how to pronounce the name of the once and future gnome capital. What most players can agree on, however, is that Nomeragon isn't going to make anybody's top 5 favorite instance lists, or even top 10. Really, probably not the top 20. I'm a comparatively new Warcraft player. When you come into a game later in its development life, you pick up all sorts of conventional wisdom from the established player base. Now granted, very often what one player states is fact and another blows off as rubbish. Not so with Nomeragon, though. Everything I'd ever heard about this instance up until running it was bad. Before we get into exploring the general consensus on the instance, and my experiences in it, let's get a little history. The gnomes, like the trolls on the Horde side, are people without a starting area to call their own. Sometime during the War of the Burning Legion, an army of Trogs rose up. It's always the Trogs, have you noticed that? Anyway, an army of Trogs rose up and invaded the gnomish capital. In a last-ditch effort to stave off the invaders, the gnomes vented their radiation tanks directly into the city, which seems like a really bad idea, and it was. Instead of killing the Trogs, the radioactive waste just made them stronger. The gnomes had to flee. Graphically, it's an interesting dungeon. It has a lot of the gnome steampunk elements that set it apart from the standard castle, cavern-type instance, and the bosses are actually a lot of fun. Some of them throw bombs at you. There's a huge mechanical spider with a machine gun. Who doesn't like a huge mechanical spider with a machine gun, except for maybe Will Smith? The final boss, Sisko Thermoplug, is a little leper gnome. He sits inside this giant mech and has a variety of weapons, all of which will keep even an experienced group on its toes. I ran the dungeon as an overgeared player in a group of overgeared players. The group leader was familiar with the dungeon, so we moved through it pretty quickly. That said, if he hadn't known where he was going, I might still be there, and therein lies the problem. I asked about the instance on the AIA forums, and Grimm voiced the same complaint that I heard time and time again. He said, The thing that stands out was that it was long and confusing. I feel like we went down those sloping corridors a dozen times, and we all started wondering who got stuck in a loop. That's really accurate. Nomergon is like the Groundhog Day of instances. A lot of these corridors look alike. And even worse, it sprawls. It goes on forever. AI member O'Malley pointed out that this is a problem in a lot of vanilla WoW dungeons, and that's a sentiment I agree with. You can see the progression from vanilla to Burning Crusade to Wrath, where the instances get more and more straightforward. Nomergon sprawls, and even with a good group, you're in for a serious time commitment. Also, it's hard. As AIE member Ivory Tiger pointed out, Nomergon at level was a group check for people playing smart. Can you play your class well and be a good team player? At level, it was almost a raid dungeon in my mind, because if one person screwed up, it was a wipe. There are these alarm bots in the dungeon that if you don't kill them quickly enough, they bring in packs of enemies. Frankly, they're a pain, and even in my overgeared group, there was a couple of close calls. If you added a couple wipes to an overly complicated from a layout standpoint dungeon, you're going to get short tempers, frayed nerves, and long runs, and none of that equals a happy player base. It ends up being an instance that seems more like work than fun, and that is always a problem, and I suspect that is, at its very base, why this is not a popular dungeon. One interesting bit, if you're an Alliance player, the dungeon has an area right in the middle of it where you can sell and check your mail, which I guess is great for them. I think we just killed the guards. Players will soon be heading back to the instance so many of them seem to hate. As before Cataclysm, there'll be an in-game event to retake Nomergon and restore the Gnomish darting area. It'll be interesting to see the changes and see if any of the vestiges of this instance remain, and how the dungeon layout will be converted into a city layout, because it seems like that's going to be a pretty difficult task. That's it for now. Next time we'll take a look at the Scarlet Monastery.
Have you ever done Nomergon at level?
At level, no.
I think it was the only... Not only. I think it was the first ever instance I did on my first ever tomb, Alliance side.
I remember you doing it, and I remember you calling me over and going, "You've got to come and see this. It's insane." It was like the washing machines.
I'd never done an instance before. I had no idea what was going on. And it was just crazy. Just crazy. And I don't think we finished it. We might have finished it. I think I spent the whole experience just kind of screaming, just like, I had no idea what's going on.
I think I've only ever actually done it once ever on any character, right. And I think that was for the achievement on Arezzo. And I remember it being really big.
Yeah.
And it being really easy to kind of go in the wrong direction.
Yeah, it's incredibly easy to get lost in there. The only reason I've been back since was that recent patch where they made the engineering pets bind on equip.
Oh, the
bind on pickup. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's where you get the recipes.
Right.
So yeah. It's not a favourite instance of mine at all, and I think it's been a long time since I've done it, because I've been Horde for so long now. Before the Dungeon Finder came in, there was just trying to run it as a Horde character was just an impossibility, really.
Yeah,
yeah, or a massive impracticality.
Yes.
So we'll move on now to our final zone, although we've probably talked about it pretty fully already. I mean Alterac Mountains.
The region of Alterac is one of contrasts. The chilly, snow-covered peaks on which the ruins of Alterac lie are in stark opposition to the grassy meadows which surround them, and each of the area's outposts have been overrun by interlopers. The ogres which dominate the city's ruins hold their new territory by brute force, while stealth and guile are the weapons of the syndicate controllers of Strong Bad. Caution is advised in both areas. To the west, the region opens up on the shores of Lordamir Lake, and here you will find the zone's most famous landmark, the deep crater which remained when the mages of Kirin Tor relocated their city to the skies above Northrend.
So the ill-defined Alterac Mountains.
Yeah. It's just an extension. This, to my mind, it's just an extension of Hillsbrad. I've kind of made that clear.
Do you think?
It's a nice enough zone, it has nice enough features, but I just can't see... In my mind, it's not a separate zone.
Yeah.
Its edges just blur too much into Hillsbrad.
The thing I think that actually is part of that is the distinction between the bit in the middle where the ruins of Alterac are, which is the mountains,
yeah,
and the lowland, or no, the uplands it's called on the map, which is the kind of the curving area north of the mountains that comes back around to the shores of Lordamere Lake and then links back around at Dalaran as was
that, to Hillsbrad. It's kind of strange kind of ring around, isn't it?
That's the bit that feels like it's just literally there is no differentiation between it and Hillsbrad. And then the mountains in the middle just act almost like a kind of a weird thing that got dumped in the middle of this extension to, to Hillsbrad.
I mean, they don't feel... If we're talking about realism for a second, they don't feel high enough to suddenly be a snow-capped mountain.
Yeah.
But that's obviously the intention.
Yeah, I mean, actually, when you think about it, when you go up that road from Taran Mill, you know, it's literally, you cross the border into Alterac and suddenly there's snow on the ground.
Yeah.
And it's like, hang on.
It goes from green and grassy to suddenly snowy, and it's just a bit weird.
Yeah, so you're right. They certainly don't feel like you're in the kind of zone where some of the big mountainous zones have that sense of height.
And again, because I think you're given the quests for it 10 or so levels before you're ready to do them, if not more, actually.
Yeah, in some cases.
You might go and try them. If you don't know, you might go and try them and obviously give up and go and do something else. I would probably put money on the fact that the Alterac mountain quests are the least done ones in the game nowadays.
I should think you're probably right.
Because you're just not going to go back to do them.
No.
They don't offer anything exciting. The zone itself is not that spectacular. It's nice enough, but it just doesn't feel like... It's no one's favourite zone.
Yeah.
Hand on heart, I am certain it is no one's favourite zone.
A poll of all 11 million WoW players, it would not come top of anyone's
list. I don't think so, because it's just not distinctive enough. Now, it has some fantastic things. You know, nowadays, it has the Dalaran crater.
Mm.
A while ago, a couple of years ago, it just had the dome encasing the city of Dalaran. The crater now is way more spectacular, particularly if you've been to Dalaran and... You know, you see the sewers and everything underneath and, you know, have some kind of vague idea. I'm sure they don't match exactly.
Or even remotely.
I think it does look kind of cooler now as well with the new kind of swirly purple magic effects around it. And the ruins of the town of Dalaran around it with all the elementals and the old Dalaran summoners and things like that hanging around there. That's all very cool. And again, it develops a bit more the history of the internment camps with the stuff that's going on at the Lordamere internment camp. It's got some interesting things in it, but if Blizzard just went back and said, you know what, let's forget about calling it Alterac Mountains, let's officially make it part of Hillsbrad, kind of play with the levels of some of the quests, I think it would make Hillsbrad a fuller, more interesting zone, but you wouldn't miss the fact that it was previously its own zone.
Yeah. And there's some of those things to do with the kind of its layout and the quests and stuff like that are actually potentially really quite aggravating. And actually, the quest I mentioned earlier on, the Baron Vardis one, I think is a great example, because the way the quest text describes, you know, well, there's these syndicate camps in the hills north of Taran Mill, which there are. There's that one on Dandrin's Fold, and there's a couple of others, Gavin's Naze and those places. So when you're sent to, you know, one of the syndicate camps in the hills north of Taran Mill, you can run around those camps for hours trying to work out where on earth Baron Vardis is. And it turns out he's actually miles north on the other side of the ruins of Alterac in that bit that you don't even realise is going to be there. So, you know, fair enough, it indicates that this is a quest that's a whole bunch of levels higher than you should be, because it's a red quest when you get it. But trying to find the man, because it's not clear that actually he's way over up in Alterac, is really annoying.
Yeah.
The ruins of Alterac themselves, I think, are brilliant. I think it's, you know, kind of the way they've been overrun by the ogres. The fact that there's one or two elites in there that you can stumble across without realising it adds a really, I think it's a good sense of danger and tension. And even, I mean, generally speaking, we've been doing pretty well at just wiping the floor with stuff because we've got our heirlooms and stuff like that. But, you know, we were in the ruins of Alterac the other day and all of a sudden saw one of the elites coming who's like, you know, 8 or 9 levels above us and elite. And we were like, whoa, and did that kind of backing away slowly thing that you do sometimes. So I like the ruins of Alterac. I think they've got a lot going for them. Somebody pointed out one of the things that's kind of an odd little thing about Alterac is that actually in the ruins, It was Grimm said, there's also a goblin vendor up on the wall in the ruins who has an exclusive alchemy recipe, yeah. Which actually I didn't realise. So I should probably head back on some point on one of my alchemists just to make sure I've got a comprehensive set. But you know, there is little stuff like that in the zone that it is worth kind of knowing about and tracking down, which obviously is kind of the point of what we're doing here. So big check to Grimm for having pointed that one out on our behalf. But yeah, as a zone, the lack of any real hubs, I think, you know, is a problem for it, because there's really no sense of where you go or what to do once you've done anything. No, there are no hubs at all. It's basically there's Strahmbrad, there's the uplands, and there's the kind of the bit leading up, the where all the Crush Ridge, Gallows Corner and stuff as you go up from Taran Mill.
And the Yeti bit.
Yeah, which obviously people tend to descend on at the Winter Festival. But yeah, it doesn't feel like a zone that's got all the things you'd expect a zone to have in it, like flight paths and quest hubs and stuff like that. It does really just feel like a bit of an afterthought on the zones around it, and specifically Hillsbrad. So just to kind of, I mean, as I said earlier, very few people had much to say about Alterac, but just to wrap up what people did say, Berger said that while the Alterac Mountains do have some cool looking sites, I never really quested there, although seeing the Dalaran crater is a must. Perhaps it's because I came to the game after Wrath of the Lich King, but this zone in particular never held any real interest for me. And actually, that's probably a fair point as well. If you came to the game after Vanilla, and certainly after Wrath was released, because Dalaran, which let's face it, was the big feature of the area, even though you couldn't really interact with it, isn't even there anymore. So I can certainly see that being an issue. Gerlope said, in the Alterac Mountains, I enjoyed the scenery and hunting ogres, but hated the ruined town of Strahmbrad that was filled with human bandits. I got repeatedly ganked by invisible NPC rogues as I was leaving the buildings. That was a theme. Yeah, they are sneaky. and it was a theme a few people made the same point. Eldekar said, I never loved the layout of the Alterac Mountains, given that the mountains themselves result in long trips to get around this zone, something that will likely to be solved by the ability to fly in this zone come Cataclysm. I recall hating Strahmbrad at level with the pesky hidden NPCs and rapid respawn times, which is another feature of that area, actually, that you do get both.
I think there's something wrong with the programming of the respawn. Because
it's crazy
fast.
Remember,
we were doing the quest around Strahmbrad, and we'd kill a house, we'd empty it, and they'd immediately start respawning.
In fact,
it wasn't just there either. It was when we were trying to do the Perinold quest over in the uplands, like down by the lake.
Things were the coming back. Things
were
really
so
quickly.
Crazy fast.
Yeah,
and that was one of the reasons. I think we might have stood the tiniest chance, but it took us so long to kill one of them that by the time we'd killed two, the first one had respawned,
I think you're right. I think there were a couple of points when we were in that zone where it didn't seem natural that we were suddenly having respawns when we did it. And it's not like we're new to the game and don't know how long we should wait around.
In fact, message to Deathwing, if you're listening.
Dear Deathwing.
It's not too late for you to change your mind about exactly where you're going to burst out of the ground. And if you want to take the whole of Alterac Mountains with you, please do feel free.
I'll let you know if we have a reply, listeners. Yes. And wrapping up, the last person who made a comment was Grimm, who said, lots of interesting landmarks here that point back to the earlier times of Azeroth, from the remaining internment camp to Strahmbrad, the Dalaran crater, and the Alterac ruins. A lot of ground here, but not a ton of interesting quests.
Yeah.
And then he wraps up by saying,
that's very fair. It's very fair. Like we were saying right at the top, the lore of these three zones is very interconnected. Reaches back a long way, is very interesting background to the whole conflict, Horden Alliance. And Alterac is a key part of that.
Yeah, absolutely. But then he goes on to wrap up by saying, if you are into the history of Azeroth, it's worth a bit of time to explore the zone and note the ruins of important places in the game. But other than that, it could honestly be completely skipped as a leveling zone. And I think he sums up exactly what we felt about the whole thing. You know, the Dalaran crater, the ruins of Alterac, Strahmbrad, if you just kind of, you know, if you're feeling a bit masochistic. But apart from that, it really has very little to distinguish it, which is sad because, you know, as you say, historically, it's got a lot of important stuff in it, but not a lot of reason to go. And even the access to the battleground It's like...
I was about to say it isn't actually in Alterac, but it is.
Yeah, but it doesn't feel like it is. Exactly. So, yeah. Same problem. So, yeah, it doesn't even feel like the battleground itself belongs to the zone that it's named
for. I'd be interested to see. I'm not sure whether that's a zone that's slated for many changes in Cataclysm. I'd be interesting to see if it's one of the ones that's going to be heavily changed and what kind of things they do to it, because there is a lot of space to do a lot of stuff with it. Mm. But right now, yeah, I imagine everyone skips it, and I imagine no one really feels the loss.
No, yeah. I can't imagine they do. So we haven't really spent a lot of time on it, but I think that's indicative of how we felt about the zone.
Yeah.
Nothing really I can think of, except possibly if you're an alchemist, to check out that goblin in Alterac itself for that recipe. Nothing that I can think of that we should be pointing out to people saying, don't miss this, or make a point of taking a trip to the zone.
It's worth a tour if you've never been.
Yeah.
But to be honest, it's too much of a pain if you're leveling around there, because you won't be at level.
No.
Maybe just skip it till you can fly, and then just give it the once over from your flying mount.
Yeah. Or if you're doing Explorer, fair enough. Wait till you've got an epic land mount to run around on, save you a bit of time. Yeah. Just make sure that you don't have to worry about actually dealing with any of the mobs while you're there.
Mm.
So that's it for poor old, unloved, disregarded Alterac Mountains.
Yeah.
And so the last thing that we're going to cover today before we say farewell is the third of the Horde cities that we've been looking at as we've gone along. We're going to take a quick look at Silvermoon City, the Blood Elf capital. And I guess in a lot of ways, this is the one that you expect to be different, because it's the one that was added last. It's the one that came with Burning Crusade and all the changes that we were all familiar with, or that we've talked about a few times in the way that game design moved on, Blizzard's thinking had moved on. So from your point of view, as a city to compare with the others that we've already looked at, how do you think it matches up?
How does it match up? Well, let's leave aside for the moment how ignored it is by the player base. I hate it. I still hate it. I don't mind it. I guess that I find Blood Elf architecture a bit blousy, a bit gaudy.
Good word. Yeah. Actually, we talked about that when we were talking about Eversong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I find it a bit too cheesy. It's not a nice place to hang out. In terms of organisation and stuff like that, I think it suffers as badly as Orgrimmar, as being a bit labyrinthine, a bit, one bit doesn't necessarily connect to the bit you expect it to. There's a couple of irregularly shaped roads that take you around odd places. It's not somewhere I enjoy spending time at all. My Bankolt used to live there, but he moved out one day when a level 80 bored Alliance Hunter just decided to spend about 3 hours killing all the bankers and all the auction house staff. So he moved to Orgrimmar. And Orgrimmar's just a better place to be. It feels more populous, more exciting. There's fun stuff in Silvermoon. I guess the fact that level 80 elite Tauren Chieftain perform there on the balcony and stuff, or you can see them there on the balcony, is kind of cool. But no, I wouldn't miss it if it went. I'm sure it's not going. I really hope, actually, this just occurred to me, they're not adding, I don't think either of us have any idea if they're adding a Worgen city and a Goblin city.
I thought I read no new cities.
Yeah, I imagine it wouldn't be. Mm. The Exodar and Silvermoon weren't exactly successes, as everyone knows. And I think it's nothing to do with them. I think it's just habits people have. So no, that Silvermoon is a bit of a big, damp squib for me.
Yeah, likewise. Yeah. I mean, I associate it with kind of positive things because of things like craft fairs being held there, which is kind of fun.
It is a great place to hold big events.
Yes, because it's so quiet. It's like whenever the guild gets together in Orgrimmar, we get no end of grief because of it affecting people's frame rates and and being just generally a big load on the server. And you could probably put all of Alia Iacta Est into Silvermoon and basically not have anybody notice. It's just there's so little going on. As a city to compare it with, say, Orgrimmar and Undercity, I think, you know, some of the things that were good when they introduced Silvermoon, and I guess, you know, the Exodar at the same time, which have kind of since been reflected a little bit into some of the other cities, were quite useful and innovative, although obvious at the time. Like, for instance, lots of mailboxes.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that once upon a time, and each more, of the
more
cities...
than one auction house.
Yeah, and more than one bank and yeah. things like that. The fact that once upon a time, you know, places like Orgrimmar and Undercity, you know, had basically one mailbox and, you know, and... that it was just crazy how that was ever meant to be logical, and I've no idea. But you know, Silvermoon introduced the idea of kind of having multiples of certain things, and I think for that we should probably thank it. But as a place itself, I mean, one of the things that I think practically everybody who commented, and it was only a few people who commented about it, noted is that everything is really spread out. You know, all the things that you might, even though there are two banks and two auction houses and stuff like that, to go from the bank to the mining trainer or something just seems to involve such a huge haul.
Well, I think it's worse in Orgrimmar. You've got that, is it the Valley of Strength, the one at the back with the mining and blacksmithing trainer, and the, you know, they had to put in an extra forge and anvil recently by the front gates because if anyone wanted to do a spot of, you know, smelting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so far into the city.
And heaven forbid you were trying to level your mining or your, say, your blacksmithing, and you needed to do that and then run to the auction house to get more materials then run back to that forge at the back. So, yeah, absolutely. Things like that. But yeah, the city itself, the thing that I actually find quite odd about it is that when you look at the map of Silvermoon, it's impossible to tell...
how to get from A to B.
Well, how to get from A to B, part
what
one.
What joins what?
Yeah, where the connection points are, because it's actually impossible to tell what's a building and what's a road.
Yes. I think that's a fault. Well, obviously, that's a fault with the map. You can tell when you're in the game.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think the map's very well done.
No.
No.
I think that's probably my biggest beef with it, is that, you know, when you're trying to get to Farstrider's Square up in the top northeast corner, and there's a couple of ways, so it's like getting through is just a pain.
Yeah, thinking about it again, if it had been in the game from the start, I do think I think it would be Orgrimmar. I think that's where people would go. There's some lovely touches. There's just when you come in through the main gates from Eversong Woods, there's kind of a building right in front of you which has a kind of veranda all the way around it with kind of those translucent purple drapes hanging in front of it, and there's benches inside, and you know, that's a really nice touch. I understand it's a real role player's haven, Silvermoon, partly because it's quiet, and partly because it has lots of those wonderful little corners to sit in and soak in the atmosphere, and there is plenty of that. The Murder Row, where the Warlock trainer is, and other stuff, but I remember it for the Warlock trainer. That's really the dark purple and gloomy, and that's a really nice zone. And again, the area around the bazaar, the big open square with the fountains and the benches to sit on, that's where we hold the craft fair normally. They are great spaces, and I do think if that city had been in from the start, it would probably be the most used city. But I wonder if my negativity towards it, if everyone's negativity towards it is just simply because we can't see the point in it. Why did they ever bother introducing it? Mm. I'm sure Blizzard look back now and think, yeah, that was wasted development time. because no one uses it. No one ever would.
And actually, it in the same way as, in fact, Darnassus in vanilla used to suffer from it.
Yeah.
And Thunderbluff to a certain extent does. But also the Exodar must as well. Geographically, it's so isolated. It's not like you go to Orgrimmar. Exactly. You're not going to go to Orgrimmar because from there it's easy to get to a whole bunch of other places. It's fair enough. It's easy to get to Undercity from Silvermoon.
Yeah.
full stop. That's it. Yeah. There is nowhere else of any significance that it's easy to get to. It's so out on a limb. Which again is a thing a couple of people said. I'll just very quickly.
I think of the vanilla cities, that is most true of Darnassus. I mean, you remember from our from our alliance days, no one ever went to Darnassus.
No.
And obviously, this was because back at the start there was no auction house there.
Yeah.
So really, why would you bother hanging out there? But even after they introduced the auction house, it was still. I used to go there a fair bit because I was a mage, and
well, we both started out.
And, oh, do you remember the days of the lag in Ironforge?
Well,
before they fixed it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
so I used to spend a lot of time teleporting to Darnassus and doing anything I needed to do.
Yeah,
there.
So training and you know and professions and stuff. Yeah, I mean, it's same thing. Yes, I think Darnassus has the advantage when you get to it over Silvermoon, say, of the things that you want that are close together, being close to the things you want to be close together are reasonably close together, and Silvermoon has that. Everything's all over the place. Thing. Mm. So,
Well, there's, I think where the banks and the auction houses are, they're paired quite nicely together. You don't have to go too far between the two. But nothing beats Orgrimmar for convenience on that.
Mm.
Well, actually, Thunderbluff, in my opinion, I think is the best.
Everything's really close together.
City.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. One minor thing I will say, having played so many druids, the only druid trainer in the Eastern Kingdoms is in Silvermoon City,
which makes no sense.
If you're Horde side, that is. No, I know.
But they don't have a shaman trainer. Is that right?
I think that's right. Yeah, I think that was what we established when we were.
It's almost as if they took a step towards having trainers for everybody because that would make a bit of sense. It's a major city, but then went, oh, we won't do that one. Why not? Why do a druid, but not that? It's not like you're even on the same continent as the druids.
No, I know.
You're.
Plus, frankly, once you pass whatever it is, level 12 or something, any druid is no more than one teleport to Moonblade away from a trainer at any time anyway. So really, why bother? Yeah. But yeah, so the points that people made on the thread about Silvermoon, there wasn't, as I said, a huge amount. But it was Zerman said, actually, it's his favourite capital city. Just to completely contrast.
Was Zerman one of the ones who was wrong about Arathi as well?
With our view. says it's funny to see that beautiful shining city on the surface, then find the darkness hidden below it.
He makes a good point. Now that's the one cool thing about Silvermoon, which has gone. Is he about to talk?
No, he's
about...
not. He's about to talk about something different than you were about to talk about.
But I will say the one cool thing about Silvermoon was Muru, the
Naru,
the Blood Elf paladins had trapped to draw all their power from by torturing it and keeping it imprisoned. But that's gone.
But
so there we go.
Not the only example of the kind of thing that exact same sort of thing. Because as he points out, I'll start again. It's funny to see that beautiful shining city on the surface, then find the darkness hidden below it. I brought my tailor to the trainer in the bazaar, and I heard crying. I found a back staircase and was shocked to find a sweatshop of captured gnomes underneath, run by a succubus.
Is he joking?
It was both funny and a little appalling to find that this beautiful race of elves had a dark side.
Is he serious?
he doesn't say he's joking.
Okay. If so, that's very cool.
If so, the fact that you were just stunned into silence is, I think, possibly a first.
Still not a good enough reason to use the city, but yeah.
But actually shows that whole dark side to the Blood Elves actually has a bit more to it than just the issue of
hijacking a Naru. There's lots of stuff going on. In the corner of the area in the bazaar, there's a couple of speakers who are talking about, the state of the Blood Elf race and that, the dire straits they found themselves in, relating to the storyline of the Burning Crusade.
Mm.
And that's quite interesting to hang around and listen to.
Yeah.
But it's on a practical level, it gets 0 out of 10. On an atmospheric role-playing lore type level, it scores highly.
Yeah. Actually, one of the things that Zerman also touched on, which is something that I think is a nice touch, is that wandering around the city, there is that delegation from the other Horde races that are effectively being, the idea is that, this is our city, now that we're part of the Horde, we'd just like to show you our city, which I think from a role-playing atmosphere lorey kind of perspective is where Silvermoon does do quite well, but from a practical point of view, not so much. Burger's comment was, I've played on a couple of different servers, and in each one, Silvermoon City is a veritable dead zone. No players visit this capital city past level 25, it seems, unless they're visiting a trainer. Sure, it may be beautiful, but it hasn't proved useful to upper-level players, not even as a waypoint to other destinations such as Thunderbluff has. Gerlope says, I think this is again summarising the entire point. I always like the look of Silvermoon, but all the resources in it are spread out with lots of travelling between them. And Grimm's comment was, the only thing I'll add here, and this is a really odd geographical anomaly. I think we talked about, although I can't remember if we mentioned it on the show. The only thing I'll add here is how odd I find it that the Dead Scar cuts right through the city, knocking the wall down as if it was nothing, and then cuts all the way through, only to stop at the wooden back gates, which you can get to from the Blood Elf starting area. It's as if the doors were too much for them. And yet the Scar continues on the Isle of Keldanas, which is further north. That whole kind of... The thing about the Dead Scar is a slightly weird little point. Although, again, one of those interesting defining... things that, you know, from all of the Blood Elf zones that you can't ever lose sight of it. If you look at the map,
if we're going to be really picky, it's not part of Silvermoon.
No, but I think
it could have been quite interesting actually if the city itself had encompassed the Scar instead of just sat next to the Scar.
Except that it.
I know it does.
That's
know
yes, it exactly. Does. But
in terms of game zones. You've got the ruins of Silvermoon and you've got Silvermoon.
Yeah, you're not running through Silvermoon and it's been decimated through the bit that you... Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, Zerman made the point that he thinks it's cool to open your map and realise that you're really only in half a city.
Yeah.
Although, actually, worryingly, if the whole city was there, how much more spread out would everything be? Well, it's only just occurred to me. So, I'm feeling that we're not giving Silvermoon very many marks, to be honest.
No. If they could rescind it from the game, I think Blizzard probably would. I think they'd probably just happily delete that and Exodar and go, oh well, let's forget about that. No one uses them, and there's just no need for them.
They could just be wiped out, and people could just pretend like that they never were there. Like, what do you mean? What
Silver
city?
Moon is the Alterac Mountains of Horde Cities.
I was about to say, we seem to have ended today's show with two areas that
we really don't think
would be missed if they were taken out of the game. So, but anyway, that is Silvermoon. That is our zones and areas for this show.
Indeed, that is episode 5. We will be back as soon as we can. With episode 6.
And certainly sooner than between episodes 4 and 5.
Sooner than the last break. Next episode, we are going to be looking at the zones of Desolus, Dustwallow Marsh, and Feralas on Kalimdor.
So, back over to Kalimdor for another run around in the middle there.
Three of my favourites, I warn you now. Yes, all three. So be prepared to be called wrong when we read your comments out on the next show. If you want to leave comments, we have set up a thread on the AIE forums. If you're listening to the enhanced version of the podcast, you've got a link to the thread on your screen now. Otherwise, look for the episode 6 thread to let us know what you think about those zones.
You can also email us at postcards@aie-guild.org. And don't forget, we haven't had any for a few shows, but if you want to record a little voice clip and tell us something that you think about one of the zones we're going to be talking about, we'll happily play that into the next show.
Come on, Desolus people, you've got a lot to say about Desolus. And so have I. Let the battle of wills commence.
Oh dear. Yeah. Okay, so that's going to be the next show. Thank you very much, Neil, for all the contributions via the forum this time round.
And thanks to our fellow contributors on this show, Irosine for doing the introductions to our zones, Baira for the Alliance point of view, and Crashing for his trip into Nomeragon.
That's it for us.
We will see you next time.
Take care.